crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things. Play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
We have more baseball talk in the Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports. Yesterday, we caught up with Coach Sean Alden of the Emory Spartans, put the final touches on the two-way high school baseball season. Again, Carbon will continue play this Thursday. Today, we're going to move away from high school, talk JUCO, USU Eastern. Their season came to a close with an 8-7 loss to Colorado in a game that was really entertaining. USU Eastern actually dominated the first six innings of this contest before things got interesting. Again, joining us over the phone right now, we have Coach Scott Mattson to talk about that and the season in general. Coach, always fun to talk to you.
All right, Jordan. Well, it's good to be back.
Coach, it's the final interview of the year. We'll wrap up the 2017 season. It went by in a hurry, and unfortunately for you guys, it ends in dramatic fashion with an 8-7 loss to Colorado in the opening round of the conference tournament.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a heartbreaker to lose that close. But, I mean, it's even worse when you have a 7-2 lead and then kind of give up six or seven runs there in three innings to lose and just not hit after you had seven after three. It was frustrating, but you know what? Good. They battled. A lot of freshmen did a lot of good things that will be coming back. And, you know, they ended the season on a high note. We had a lot of kids make the all-region team. We had four freshmen and two sophomores. So, and it was good for everybody all around, I feel like.
Yeah, we'll talk in particular about one player. Jesse Rowley in this game was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you look at that final stat line, Coach, and it's sad to see a season come to a close off a game like that.
Yeah, you know, he's been a good solid hitter for us all year long, and he's just kind of been a little bit up and down for us. But that last game, oh my goodness, I mean, it was something to see him. Even when he got out, his ball was still hammered. I mean, those two home runs, the seven RBIs in that game were just phenomenal. I mean, and we had everything rolling there and just seemed like we lost energy. But you know what? He'll be back. He's going to be a good player for us. I feel like he kind of settled in there towards the end and really took off. I mean, he ended up making the first team all-region. He was, I want to say, second in the league in hitting. So, I mean, having him come back with Cole Fawcett is a good, strong base for us.
Yeah, offensively, no doubt about it, Coach. When you look at that final stat line, what's the last time you had a player put up statistics like that in an individual game? I mean, that's a video game type performance.
It is. You know, I think I want to say the last person that put it up was Craig Brinkerhoff, and I mean, he was the player of the year in the SWAC, and they were both as freshmen. So I mean, those guys come in, and that's the type of potential that this kid has. He's fast. He can throw. I mean, he has all the tools, and to see it come together and kind of culminate there at the end was just fantastic.
You mentioned pairing him with Cole next season. Both will be sophomores. I mean, when you look at these two guys, as far as a 1-2 punch offensively goes, I mean, do you think that you guys will have an edge on most teams, or is this something that you guys have just been lacking that most teams in the conference have had over the last 10 years or so?
You know, I think we're going to have that 1-2 punch that is above everybody else with those two. I mean, you still have Steven Ortiz in that mix, who he was at 285. He was actually the second. He just was injured there at the end. He pulled his hamstring, and, I mean, curing a hamstring while still trying to play is impossible. That was a big aspect of his game, is his speed and not having that. So, I mean, we have guys right there that I feel like we're going to be at the level, if not above, because, I mean, this year Cole did well. He just kind of there towards the end. We couldn't get anybody really consistent to back him up and kind of protect him. So he ended up getting walked a lot and having to go hit pitches that, I mean, most people wouldn't even try and hit. So as far as next year, I think with those two protecting each other, and then we have some kids coming back that, geez, they're even going to be better. I mean, we have Mitch Dial, who blew his knee out prior to the season about a week before. He was slated to be our number four hitter, which I put his bat up with Jesse Rowley. I mean, we have that potential.
Coach, how frustrating is it to go to the conference tournament and be the only team that doesn't suffer two losses outside of the conference champion?
You know, I mean, that's something they set up when we moved to Division II, and it's something that's in the work. It's not ideal for us. I mean, obviously, we travel that far. We'd like to at least play two games and do all that, and to have your season on the balance of traveling there and having to win the very first game, that's tough because, I mean, you're traveling a lot and doing all that stuff, but I personally am fighting to get it changed. I think it's not right for us, and it's not right for the first place team that's done so well and not gotten that first round bye. I mean, they ended up playing the exact same amount of games as anybody else in that tournament and still happened to host. And that's, I mean, a true tournament isn't set up for that way. That gave, to me, that gave the number two and three teams a better chance of winning.
No, it definitely did. And I guess, I clarify that. I mean, I guess Colorado only had to lose one game as well. I mean, it's just a different format. And a lot of that has to do with only having five teams, right?
Right. And, you know, I mean, Colorado did only have to lose one. But at the same time, you saw it this year. If you win a close game like Colorado came back, I mean, they had some big hits in that game, really, really got things rolling for them. And I mean, I'll tell everybody, I think we awoke the beast in Colorado when we played them. But they had that momentum going into that game where they just pummeled TSN. I mean, that's a huge thing in baseball to have that energy. And if you can continue to run with that, oh, my goodness, you can just roll, which was proven. I mean, throughout the whole tournament, even when they ended up losing two after that, they were one-run games, and they were right there in every game. So, I mean, it's a big deal, to, especially with that play-in game, because you have a lot of emotions running high in that game.
Right, right. Absolutely. Again, our guest right now is Coach Scott Madsen of the USU Eastern baseball team. Coach, with this being said, I feel like this is the first time in a while that I looked at the USU Eastern baseball squad and said, this team can legitimately win a conference championship. You guys played great baseball down the stretch, knocking off CSI 3 out of 4 times, and then outplayed Colorado for 7 or 8 innings out of a 9-inning contest. You really have to feel good about the foundation built by these freshmen that'll be back next year.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sitting back, and I mean, obviously I'm going to have to replace a catcher. They were all sophomores, and we have first baseman coming back, and I've already replaced our pitching that we need for next year. So, I mean, just talking to these kids as we're having our exit interviews here over the last few days, these kids are excited, and that's something that we really needed, because, I mean, it's been a while since our sophomores have come back and said, you know what, we have the team to do it. I mean, you have guys like Jared Lesser that he battled through some injuries, but that guy, he's going to be a big pitcher for us next year, and he's proven that he could be at the top of the league if he can stay healthy. You know, even that last game, he threw awesome. Just an error here or there, and, I mean, we're out of that without giving up his run that gave him the 8th, which was an unearned run. But, I mean, just having those guys, we had, for the first time, we had a pitcher in the top 3 in the league. I mean, you're talking a kid that's a lefty, and he ended up getting hit in the eye when we played that CSI game and came back and started that playoff game with Colorado, got us through 5, and then his back started tightening up, which, I mean, I was just excited that he was out there in the first place, you know, after taking one off the eye a couple weeks prior. But, I mean, it's so comforting to know, hey, we have these guys that are coming back and they're excited and willing to put the work in to win that next year, and to know that they were 2 games off from third place, 2 or 3 games off. I mean, that's how close the conference was. We were 3 games from being ahead of CSI. I mean, it was just one of those things that we get a few lucky bounces here and there, and it's a whole different atmosphere at that region tournament.
The ERA did rise a little bit for you guys later on in the season. I think you finished around 3.5, if I remember right, Coach. I mean, what do you contribute to that, and where does that number need to be for this team to be successful moving into next season?
You know, that had a lot to do with our bullpen. I feel like our guys just didn't get, you know, they were just sporadic with how we were getting them. We were kind of dependent on some sophomores that started the season really hot, really energetic, but I think as the season went on, they just kind of fell off and didn't really do exactly what we were approaching early, and, you know, they just kind of missed a lot of key pitches that really killed us in the end, and that's what rose it. And then I think there were some errors early in the game, and this is kind of something we preach is, you know, what we preach to be on or out in 3 pitches and just kind of pound the zone, which it worked well for us. We were leading the league at the beginning, and then come the end, I think we tried to go a few more strikeouts and pitch around people a little bit more, and that just kind of hurt us in the end as we're pitching in counts where the hitters could really get after them. But I really think that's something that we've worked hard to replace, and I feel like there's some guys that we have coming in that could really fill those roles and shut it down for the rest of the game.
I know that every team could make an excuse, and I know you're never about excuses, Coach, but I have to believe that playing 6 consecutive weeks on the road contributed to that problem.
You know, it really did. There was guys that were struggling with school, obviously. I mean, being gone that much and trying to do all your homework on the road around 30 kids is it's impossible. And then being able to go out there and play those tough teams at the level of competition we had, I mean, that just it puts an amount of stress on you that you can't imagine. I know I was wore out. I can't imagine those kids that were out there playing four games a weekend, how they felt. But I mean, you just can't ever get good rest on the road in the bed. And I'm not about excuses, but you know, I think that's something that we're going to look into, and it's hard to remedy because of the fact that we play so early in the year, and we can't play home games, but we're really working on trying to see if we can't get games at least closer where we might be able to stay in our bed a few more nights.
With all this being said, Coach, now you go into the offseason. I know it's a year-round gig. It's not as if you actually, as a coach, have an offseason. Maybe the players do, but not you as a coach. So what's next? What do you have next on the agenda?
You know, right now we're putting together a strength training program to get some of these freshmen stronger and see if we can make it through without getting hurt as much. And then we're just out there recruiting and kind of getting our kids prepped for next year and really trying to move the program forward. We brought on a new assistant coach in Kirk Haney, who played for me in the past years, and he's done a good job, and he's going to be a big asset to us. We're currently in the process of hiring a graduate assistant to come on and help. So, I mean, that's the areas we're really working on. We're setting up a summer tryout program to showcase things. So, and we're moving some directions, but that's kind of what we do, is start to plan for the next year and see where we want to be and set our program up and make adjustments from what we've seen this year to the next year.
Personnel-wise, how close is next year's team to being complete at this point in time? Do you still have a lot of recruiting left to do, or is it about set?
You know, we're about set where we're at. We'll pick up some walk-on kids here or there, but where we're at right now is, I mean, we're returning 14, 15 kids from last year's team, and then, which, I mean, at the end of the season, seven of them were starters for us. And it probably could have been a bigger number if any of them were healthy, but we only had to replace a few. There's a few key players that were out there. We have guys waiting to get answers from, but that catching position is probably the main priority for us right now.
Coach, it has been fun to follow the team all year long. I always appreciate you making time for us each week. Congratulations on a very entertaining season, and I know we'll be talking again real soon.
All right, well, I appreciate your support, Jordan.
That's my pleasure, Coach. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we'll move over, talk some NBA basketball tonight, the lottery, and there's a lot at stake for a couple of teams. We'll go over some of those scenarios when we return here on Drive Time Sports.